Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you that in your scriptures we can see his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from you. And we ask as we look at John's gospel now, we would see that Jesus is full of grace and truth. In his name, amen. In early June, we took our youth group, Engage, on a weekend's camping trip to Groombridge, rather luxurious resort there. I think they enjoyed it. They're not even listening to me, so they're clearly looking back, reminiscing. One of the lads turned up on the Saturday evening after work. He didn't arrive with a tent. He didn't arrive with space to go in someone else's tent. No, he decided that the best way to sleep on a weekend in Groombridge would be to sleep in his hammock. So he attached it to two branches on Saturday evening. He jumped in and he claimed that he had had a glorious night's sleep. Now, as a very good youth leader, who is obviously very concerned for the youth's health and safety, I looked at the branches that he had attached them his hammock to, and to be honest, they were more like twigs. I'm still pretty stunned that he didn't collapse in the middle of the night. In fact, I'm a little bit disappointed that he didn't collapse in the middle of the night. How he put his faith in that hammock, I don't know. But this hammock reminded me of a story that I once heard about the 19th century Scottish man, John Peyton. Peyton was a missionary, pioneer missionary to the Pacific Islands of Vanuatu. I think that's how you say it, I'm not really sure. But he went to Vanuatu and he went to explain to the island natives about the message of the Bible. He was telling them that they needed to believe in Jesus. Obviously, they don't speak Scottish. So he translated the word believe into the Vanuatan expression to collapse into your hammock. To rely and put your faith, not in a hammock, but in Jesus. To depend in him, to trust him, to feel secure. Belief in Christ is where John the Gospel writer, he wants us to remain this evening as we come to the end of our summer tour of John chapters 7 to 10. John is very clear that he wants us, the reader, to end up at belief in Jesus. It's on the top of your handouts that hopefully you got when you came in, the passage John chapter 20 verse 31. John writes that these things that in John's gospel are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What we've been learning together and what John keeps coming back to in his gospel is our one point for this evening. It's our one big idea for you to take home to try and remember this week. In verses 22 to 42 that we just have read out, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and have life in his name. And you may well be thinking, is John surely still on this? Is he still banging on about belief in Jesus? Didn't we have that last week and the week before that and the week before that? Well, simply, yes, we did. And John will not stop saying that one verse to us as we read all of John's gospel. He's absolutely clear, and he wants us to be absolutely clear on this one issue. So if you're a Christian here this evening, don't get annoyed at John and his relentless message of belief. Actually, believers need this reminder. To feel secure in Christ as a Christian, you have to keep coming back to the gospel basics. That Jesus is who he says he is and what he came to do. And if you're not a Christian here this evening, well then listen up. Not to my word, but look at the evidence that's written down in John's gospel. Look at the evidence that shows us that Jesus is who he says he is. Throughout John's gospel, we're given these little nuggets to show us, the reader, that John himself was an eyewitness of what was going on. So the last few weeks we've been in Jerusalem in the autumn over a harvest festival that was occurring. But verse 22, have a look down, it tells us that John says we've now moved on, it's now winter, and we're still in Jerusalem. In fact, we're still in the temple at the time of the Feast of Hanukkah in the second half of December. So it's just a few weeks after the last sort of section. And the Jews gather around Jesus and they say to him, verse 24, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. So the Jewish crowd, they're getting pretty fed up with Jesus at this point. In fact, they're only a few months away from killing him. And it's worth mentioning, as we come to the end of this second large chunk of John's gospel, it began in chapter 5 with the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years and Jesus had healed him. And from chapter 5 all the way to the end of chapter 10, where we are this evening, there's been some pretty key themes. So we've had the identity of Jesus, that Jesus is God's Christ, his anointed king who came to rescue. We've had the work of Jesus, that he is the one and only Son of God who does the will and the works of his Father. And we've got the hostility of the Jews, the historic people of God, who reject their king, the Christ. These three themes are included in our passage this evening: the identity, the works, and the rebellion. Is Jesus the Christ? Is he God's Son? Will he be rejected by those who should believe? Well, have a look down at the passage. Look at Jesus' response. Verse 25, I've already told you. Verse 25 again, I've already given you all the necessary evidence. Verse 26, you won't believe because you do not belong to God. See, this crowd have been given all the evidence. Throughout the section of John, he's used many illustrations and Old Testament references to tell the people who he is. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am being the Old Testament reference to God of the Jewish people. They've had loads of opportunities to hear Jesus teach, telling them about who he is and why he came, teaching them from the scriptures. They've had his word. And then to top it off, they've had his works. The utterly remarkable things that only Jesus can do. The healing in chapter 5 of the paralyzed man. The feeding of thousands of people with just a few bits of bread and fish. The healing of a man born blind. Jesus' words and his works, well, they bear witness to who Jesus is. And yet the crowd still cannot work out who he is. And sadly, many people remain the same today. If only there was more proof, then I would believe. But lack of proof is not the problem. Jesus doesn't say that, does he? No, the reason they don't believe is because they are not his sheep. Using the same shepherd sheep illustration that we had last week in the beginning part of John chapter 10, verse 26, Jesus says they do not believe because they are not of the good shepherd's flock. These Jews, shockingly, are not God's people because they are not with Jesus. They are false sheep. They do not listen to him. And that shows their unbelief. And surprisingly, therefore, the shepherd doesn't know them. The mark of a true sheep, the mark of a true Christian, well, Jesus thankfully tells us in verse 27. True sheep, well, they listen to Jesus' voice. True sheep are known by Jesus. True sheep follow Jesus. That is what belief in Jesus looks like for us in the room here this evening. Are we listening to Jesus' authoritative voice? Are we known by the sovereign Jesus? Are we following him? If yes, then we are really quite privileged. We don't deserve any of that. But if you simply believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, well then just look at what the true flock benefit from in verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Eternal, abundant, everlasting life. No perishing, meaning there's no judgment to face. And there is absolute security for the Christian. Verse 28, no one will snatch them from the good shepherd's hand. He is the one who protects his sheep and keeps them. Just have a glance over to chapter 10, verse 1 from last week. We're promised that no robber will come in and steal the sheep. It's the same in verse 8. Verse 5, we're told that no stranger can come in and take the flock. Verse 12, no wolf will come in and snatch or scatter. See, to be known by Jesus is to be held secure by the grip of his grace. Not one believer will be snatched from his hand or from the Father's hands. That's the why no one will be snatched. In verse 29 and 30, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Who has the power to overthrow God? Who has the wisdom to outwit him? To put your trust in Jesus, to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God the Father, is to lie in a hammock that is secure forever. If you're a Christian here this evening, or if you're a Christian in the churches that are gathered across the world this evening, then whatever life throws at you tomorrow, brothers and sisters, if it's problems at work, which it won't be, it's bank holiday, whatever comes this week, whatever health issues, family issues, friendship issues, nothing can remove you from his eternal grip. You are secure if you trust in the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. He will never, never let you go. Now the Jews hate this response from Jesus. They know what he's claiming, verse 31. They want to stone him for it and arrest him. But they don't like what Jesus says next either, because he's continuing to tell them, John 20, 31. So verses 32 to 38 is also, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and have life in his name. The Jews know that Jesus, he's claiming to be equal with God his Father, and for them, that is utterly blasphemous. Verse 33, have a look down. You, being a man, are making yourself God. The crowd have been, they've been fine with the works, the miracles. Earlier in the gospel, we're told by John that actually they quite like the miracles. They see them as a good and great and noble thing to do. But Jesus, he wants to show them that actually they have the wrong belief. They are trusting in themselves and not him. Verse 32, look at my works. Verse 33, look at my word. And to prove to them that they're trusting in the wrong thing and the wrong people, he quotes God's word. Verse 36 is a quote from Psalm 82. It's a verse that was written about the kings and the rulers of Israel. It's on the bottom of your handout, so you haven't got to flick over. I'll read that. So Psalm 82, verse 6 and 7. It's God speaking. He says, you are gods, sons of the Most High. All of you, nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. You are gods was an exalted term, as I said, for the kings and the rulers of Israel, those who were to deal out justice and mercy, those who had great power. And yet God of the Bible in Psalm 82, he calls them, small g, gods. However, Jesus is using this psalm to show the crowd that these rulers, these leaders that they belong to, well, they're pretty useless. You can go back to Ben's talk from John chapter 10 last week and hear what the Bible says on that and their leadership compared to Jesus. But the big problem in Psalm 82 verse 7 is that these kings, these rulers, will die. And they did die. But John 10:36, because Jesus comes from God, the eternal God, and is called God's own son, well, he is the king, the Christ, forever. Jesus, again, using the scriptures, is claiming to be the Christ, the Son of God, who lives forever and is offering eternal life to anyone who believes. And it really leaves the crowd and ourselves this evening with two options. Option one comes in verse 37. If the miracles aren't from God the Father, through his Son, the Christ, well then don't believe. If Jesus is just a mere man, well then we should probably just leave now, right? What's the point in singing praises to Jesus? It would be like jumping into a hammock that cannot bear the weight and we're in an absolute mess on the floor. But I do believe that Jesus is the Christ, King, the Son of God. And I use the word but because that is what Jesus does in verse 38. And the Bible, well, it has the best buts. And that is option two. As a Christian, I believe that Jesus' works, his miracles, back up his words. Verse 38, Jesus tells them that they can know and they can understand that the Father is in him and that he is in the Father. Jesus comes as the one and only Son of God who is obedient to his Father's will, even to lay down his life for the stupid sheep, so that we too may become children of God. And again, to the crowd, this stinks of blasphemy. They long to arrest him and stone him. Once again, the historic people of God reject the one who comes to save them. They choose option one. They choose unbelief. And as a church, we pray, we long that no one in this room chooses that option. Do not reject God's Son. Go back through his eyewitness account written for us. Read again of those words and his works and see if they match up. See if he is the Son of God who is full of grace and truth. And don't just take my word for it because, you know, I'm not that great. Take someone who was great, J.C. Ryle, 19th century bishop of Liverpool. It's not often I get to quote bishops, but he's a pretty good one. He said this, "The abundant evidence, the internal evidence of the Bible, the prophecy, the miracles, the history, they all say with one voice, Jesus is the Son of God, and believers have life through his name." Finally, John sums up this whole section of his gospel. He tells us how Jesus leaves Jerusalem in these late verses. He heads back to where John the Baptist had been baptizing across the Jordan. And do you see option two there? Why is it that the people in that area believe in Jesus? It's because of the works. They had heard John the Baptist. They had seen and heard. But the problem was is that the Baptist was just a man. Verse 41, he never did any signs. But John was very clear. He spoke as a witness of one who was coming, whose shoes and sandals he was not worthy to untie. Both John the Gospel writer and John the Baptist, they speak of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And why? Well, these things are written down so that you and I may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we have may have life in his name. As John Payton said to the natives of Vanuatu, believe in Jesus. Lie in the hammock of faith. Trust him. Keep coming back to the King's word. Look back and remind yourselves over and over again of the things that he said and the things that he did that only the Son of God could do. And follow him in complete security. Christ has brought you into his flock by grace, and he will never let you go.